Translation. Those persons who are materially engrossed, Jayashi Shirade Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Man, Chigonitai. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. Translation. Purport. In the revealed scriptures, there are two nomenclatures for the householder's life. One is Grihastha, and the other is Grihamedi. The Grihasthas are those who live together with wife and children, but live transcendentally for realizing the ultimate truth. The Grihamedis, however, are those who live only for the benefit of the family members, extended or centralized, and thus are envious of others. The word medi indicates jealousy of others. The Grihamedis, being interested in family affairs only, are certainly envious of others. Therefore, one Grihamedi is not in good terms with another Grihamedi, and in the extended form, one community, society or nation is not on good terms with another counterpart of selfish interest. In the age of Kali, all the householders are jealous of the one another because they are blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth. They have many subject matters for hearing, political, scientific, social, economic, and so on. But due to poor fount of knowledge, they set aside the question of the ultimate miseries of life, namely, miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Factually, the human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to birth, death, old age, and disease. But the Grihamedis, being illusioned by the solution to the problems of life, just a moment, being illusioned by the material nature, forget everything about self-realization. The ultimate solution to the problems of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. And thus, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 8.16, the miseries of material existence, birth, death, old age and disease are removed. The process of going back home, back to Godhead, is to hear about the Supreme Lord and His name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, and variegatedness. Foolish people do not know this. They want to hear something about the name, form, etc. of everything temporary, and they do not know how to utilize this propensity of hearing for the ultimate good. Misguided as they are, they also create some false literature about the name, form, attributes, etc. of the ultimate truth. One should not, therefore, become a Grihamedi simply to exist for envying others. One should become a real householder in terms of the scriptural injunctions. Those persons who are materially engrossed and being blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. This is a very famous verse, quoted very much. And then it looks like, not Prabhupada, but Srimad Bhagavatam is bashing Grihamedis left and right, really, in this like quite few verses ahead and before. So that sometimes, just thinking, is that really, how is it this? Is really every Grihamedi so envious of others, says the, when is everything nice, everything goes, then there's no problem. Why should I be envious of others? But if it's trouble, then this envy comes out. I remember just before war in Croatia, in Bosnia, all these countries that we were living together. But then just before war came, was all rumor, was panic. One friend told me, he said, I don't care. He said, if my family would suffer hunger, not anything to eat or something, I don't care. I would kill everybody, slaughter everybody, but don't care. And this actually happened. It actually happened. Neighbor was killing the neighbor. So just example that in Nazis, as Prabhupada said, or Prabhupada says here, there's an enemy inside there. So, in this verse it says, those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of the absolute truth, have many, many subject matters for hearing human society, O Emperor. So, because they hope that finding answers to all they what they inquire, this will bring them final peace and satisfaction. They will improve their life. See, otherwise they wouldn't. You see, they're very engrossed. If you're engrossed, you'll try to find solution anywhere else. See, so just to ask proper questions. So, what are right questions in previous chapter, I think on the last verses said, what Maharaj Parikshit asked, please let me know what a mind, what a man should hear, chant, remember and worship, and also what he should not do. This is a question which Maharaj Parikshit asked just before he died. These are proper questions. He said, please explain this to me. And then he's in verse 1, he said, yesterday's, he said, Please, Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, your question is glorious, but it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. So these are questions which are crucial for everybody to ask. Maharaj Parikshit here is congratulated by sages. These are questions you should ask. Not something else, see. That says here that many subject matter for hearing, political, scientific, social, economic, in purpose says, and so on. So they set aside the question of the ultimate miseries of life, birth, death, old age, disease. There's a main question one should ask, see. And human life is meant to solve all this problem. Ultimate problem is, Prabhupada said in the end, to go back home, back to Godhead, because you can't solve material problems. Only if you just quit or become so spiritual, for you it doesn't matter where are you. See? How to remove Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi, birth, death, old age, disease. These are quite proper questions. See? And the process of going back home, back to Godhead is to hear about Supreme Lord, His name, form, attributes and pastimes. Prabhupada said, parparanlya, variegatedness. Foolish people do not know this. See. So interesting, Maharaj Parikshit, he needed only those things, essential things. See. But we see due to Srimad Bhagavatam, he asked so many other questions, seemingly not related to it, so many other questions. See. Not just that. He had only 7 days, see. You could think like God's sake is the most essential. I'm dying and soon. Forget about. As I said, being there, done that, finish. Let's ask the essence. But why he's asking? He's asking because of us. Because we are naturally inquisitive. There's nothing wrong to be inquisitive. Sorry, like now internet. My goodness, is it such an overdose of information that truth is covered up? You don't know what is true about anything. Anything. That's a kind of overload information. So, one sits in a room and tries to extend his eyes, Googling, hacking the secret files of, I don't know, KGB, FBI, White House, what somebody does. You know, and sometimes they claim they hacked into some secret files, you know. We would like to know, you'd like to know. The soul is confused in the material world, Secrets, what's that? But conspiracies. What about COVID? Who produced COVID? Where is it coming from? Is that cure really harmful or really protects you? The information of both sides create confusion. You never know what you put hand on, see, because we are inquisitive. Yeah? And due to this inquisitiveness, we came to Krishna consciousness, finally, see, after many, many lifetimes. So, we didn't come directly to know Krishna or something, we were inquisitive on many things about life. Somebody wanted service straight away. No, our inquisitiveness brings us there, see. And Srimad Bhagavatam, he takes us wherever we are and slowly paves the way around. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what Parikshit asked so many questions to grab our attention. And slowly pave our out build a groove where we can fall in slowly until we come to the essence. See, like for example, when I read first time second canto, I was so impressed, so intrigued by all this creation process. Like, you know, like why Maharaj Parikshit want to know about time, about creation, about the elements, about orders of society, you know, but asking for us. So I was so impressed by all this. I didn't understand nothing probably, but was so impressed how detailed it is. So this kind of, you know, and it grabbed me. Second canto is first which I really read, you know. So this is incredible, you know. Creation of universe on the scene. I mean, come the time, soon it will come in this chapter. Time, like, you know, who needs such a time, a small fragment of time, like 1/700 split of second or something, you know. So it's incredible descriptions that, you know. So, interesting that in spiritual world, we are all Satchidananda. What would this mean? Spiritual world, Satchidananda. That means that full of knowledge, full of knowledge. Full of bliss, full of eternity. So what's happened when one crosses the Vaitarani River, which is dividing line, huge river between material and spiritual life? Does that mean that his intelligence gets stripped away somehow, like in a water filter? Like you have reverse osmosis up there, strips all everything out. Is that what's happened with the soul? It doesn't, because soul cannot be separated from this three constituents. Full knowledge, full eternity, full bliss. You cannot. If you strip any of them, you will not be soul. It will be something else, like fire. Take heat. You will not be able to eat this morning. I will not be able to cook anything. If you strip anything from that, see. The soul is always Satchidananda. And here, what comes is Asit, Asat, Ajit, Nirananda. So it is interesting point there. So why is that? If you get not stripped of knowledge, eternity and bliss, what's happened with us? When you go through this Vaitarani river, identification changes. You just give up the soul. Give up the soul aside and identify with the mind. That's identification. A mind is confused. You throw somebody on a foreign place. What's going on? Even Lord Brahma, first created being, he came from spiritual world with Satchidananda consciousness. When he came, his body, very body, is made of intelligence. And what happened to Brahma? He was totally confused. Total darkness. Who am I? What is that place? He's totally confused. Even him, first entity made of intelligence. It's happened to him. As soon as you cross and come to the material world, see, and he was in fear, like if somebody would put you in some platform above the Atlantic Ocean with huge waves and wind and darkness, you would be scary as well, you know, shaking on this platform. What's going on? Who am I? So we have this, what's happened when you come to the material world? And then he has to calm down. And when he heard the word tapa and perform austerity. What happened then? In the heart, Krishna imparted Vedas to him. Vedas. And what has Vedas? Manual of this world. So there's no need for Vedas in spiritual world. You know, it belongs to this, the manual of this world. It deals mostly with three modes of material nature. So in this material world, we need such instructions because we are associated with the mind. The mind is confused totally. We need instructions. Mind needs that. To run this world, or if you not run properly, we ruin the world. That's a question. That's a fact. So, and then since mind needs to acquire knowledge, see, soul is always all-knowing. It's all-knowing always. But you identify with the mind, you have to acquire the knowledge to function here. Like, this mind is like a child on the legs. What child does when he's small? Daddy, what is that? Daddy, what is that? Inquisitiveness comes. We have to know. We want to know. So that's what we do here. We try to acquire knowledge, you see. A mind is also shaped according to the source of its knowledge. Depends on source, mind is shaped. So fortunately can be misled. See, like remember in 20s and 30s, they made this nice cream for the face with radioactive material inside. And ladies were using radioactive, I think it's radium, which is even more radioactive than the uranium, because it's glowing and soft as the skin. And then, you know, they said, there's an advert still, you can see, he said, makes your skin so soft and clean. I'm thinking, you know, yeah, so soft that it falls off, you know, melts away. Yeah. But apparently it did much harm because they put small amount of it into it. But in regard to this, which was very harmful, is that in that time, wristwatch industry, they used to paint these digital numbers with glowing, because radium is glowing. And the ladies would sit, mostly ladies, they were on the job. They have small brushes and dip into this uranium solution, not uranium, but radium solution, and then paint the letters, you know. But then they advise to make point this small brush. They have to use their saliva. And this actually created problem, you know, in their mouths. I don't know, maybe their jaws fall off. Anyway, so it's an ignorance. So if it's not proper, later on, of course, they realize, oh. They were even drinking solution of it. One man died, I think, or something. Like they said, it kills all bacteria, kills you, of course, kills everything, you know, kills you also. Like if you have knowledge, probably uranium, radium, they have their use, definitely. They have their use. Like in Ayurveda, you can use mercury, one of the most poisonous elements on the planet. You can use as a cure, so if you have knowledge. Yeah. So here in this material world, as I said, question, what are proper questions? We are so provoked in this material world to ask wrong questions. Like I mentioned internet, you know, so many things we want to know. We are kind of provoked to ask improper questions. The other day on Bhagavad Gita class, Roberto said, we have to produce inquisitiveness about Krishna. That's a preaching. Kind of prod them to kind of ask about Krishna. That's a preaching. So in this material world, everything else, we are prompt to ask, but not about self-realization. See, so take on where he is and pave slowly the way to Krishna. That's essential. Prabhupada was expert in this. He would pick up the person and then slowly bring him. Was a driver, a racing driver. Yeah, he would sit and they would talk and he would ask about. Prabhupada just ask question about car, about motor, about this, and slowly, and then at some point, Prabhupada just find the you know, hole, and boom, and then start to preach, and take all his discussion aside, and he was leading the question. So, man was first opening up, yeah, he's interested, you know, his pride was growing, he was best racing driver in the UK, and Prabhupada would take, and then preach, or is it Tittenhurst? In John Lennon's estate, yeah, I would meet this gardener every day, old gardener. And Prabhupada would ask, well, what are you growing? I say, I'm growing trees, I'm growing vegetables, I'm growing this. Prabhupada said, can you grow the bindi? And man couldn't figure out what bindi is. I said, fingers, ladies, fingers. I couldn't figure out again. And finally, oh, yeah, okra. Oh, no, I cannot. It's too cold. Not even greenhouse. I cannot. And the Prabhupada said, can you grow mangoes? So, no, even in greenhouse it's too cold, I cannot do. And Prabhupada just switched. He said, how old you are? I said, 67, something. He said, do you have all your teeth? Suddenly Prabhupada said, do you have all your teeth? He was kind of embarrassed because he didn't have actually any. He said, no. He said, Swamiji, they're all false because I have sweet tooth. I like sweet so much. All four. Prabhupada, I also have a sweet tooth. But I have all my teeth. I'm 72. All my teeth. Like show like this, you know. So because I eat proper sweets. And then preaching started. And the man was very respectful after. They would greet each other. Like, this Prabhupada. Anyway. That's a, you know, how to expertly preach. So preaching means inquisitiveness of Krishna, is increase inquisitiveness for Krishna. No. That's it. So we need the Vedas as instructions, like, you know, to lead our life, you know, in this material world, cannot function at all. We need the Vedas. But what's the purpose of Vedas? To bring one to very small portion of purpose of Vedas, to bring one to the Vaidhi Bhakti. And then from Vaidhi Bhakti, one has to, you know, it's a Vaidhi Bhakti. If he accepts spiritual life, more or less, accepts sadhana, that's a Vaidhi Bhakti. The purpose of all this unlimited forest is to transcend them. What's that verse? Yada tamoha kalilam, something. When your intelligence has passed away from dense forest of ignorance, then you'll be indifferent to all what you have been heard, what you is to be heard. That means, Prabhupada in purport of that verse says, all this karma kanda, jnana kanda, upasana kanda, to transcend that and come to the conclusion of the Vedas, of the Vedanta. Accept Vaidhi Bhakti and slowly pave your way. And what is Vaidhi Bhakti? In one sense, is Vaidhi Bhakti is just Vedic records of those liberated souls, denizens of Vrindavan. Whatever they do, it's not that they follow some injunctions or something, because there's no need for Vedic knowledge. Whatever they do is highest, topmost conclusion of the Vedas. And these records of them is called for us Vaidhi Bhakti. That's a, you know. So whatever they do is spontaneous, purest. And even Vaidhi Bhakti at some point becomes Raganuga, becomes Bhagavat Marga, Bhagavat Vidhi, which is spontaneous, you see. You have to, and what that mean again? It means come to follow the footsteps of one of the liberated souls in spiritual world. That's what Vaidhi Bhakti has to bring you to spontaneous. You follow the footsteps. And how you do this? Liberated or very exalted devotee introduces you to that. See? Then you can, then one comes to the follow son of the Brijabasi. And then slowly by their mercy, then he's introduced to be in the circle of Krishna. See? Like the story I just read recently. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in the South India, just rainy season came. And then end up in the Ranga Kshetra, where the Lord Ranganath deity is here. And then even he arrived to this place, where he saw the Ranganath, he was just totally in ecstasy. And where he was dancing and you know, displaying all the symptoms. Ever was mesmerized that it's not possible for ordinary human being to do this, to display such a pastimes. He was one of Brahmana there. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. Who is that? You know, this was Venkatabhata. He was Sri Vaishnava. And when he saw that, he begged Lord Chaitanya to stay with this place for entire Chaturmasa, because there's no traveling, 4 months. And Lord Chaitanya stayed in his place. And they were discussing. And then he was very attached to worshipping the Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan. He was very attached to that. He was thinking that this is supreme. This is nothing so sublime. Supreme worship is worship Lakshmi Narayana. Lord Chaitanya could understand that. And he said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wanted to correct this misunderstanding. So they were talking, discussing every day. They were soon in ecstasy with Krishna Katha. And then Lord Chaitanya asked him, Venkat, you know, you worship Narayana. You know, he's in opulence, you know, in Lakshmi. I just worship Krishna, you know, but my Krishna is just cowherd boy, you know, simply cowherd boy. But how is that, that even your Lakshmi, goddess of fortune, wanted to enter into circle, into inner circle of the gopis? Venkata said, there is no harm for this, you know, like, you know, lilas of Krishna are so sweet, so attractive. And then he's the same as Narayan. He's Narayan himself. So there's no any discretion in the chastity of Lakshmi if she wanted to experience such a kind of relationship. You know, there's no problem. And Lord Chaitanya said, but how is that she performed austerities for so long, serious austerities, to enter that circle, but she couldn't? Why is that? She couldn't enter into that circle. While Upanishads, he said, Shrutis, personify Upanishads, they also perform austerities they wanted, and they succeed. Ask me, he said, answer this question. Venkatabhata was puzzled, could never say. All he could say is, my Lord, I don't know anything, you know. At this point, I'm not all-knowing. I don't know. I worship Lakshmi Narayana. But you are supreme. You can enlighten me on that topic. And Lord Chaitanya said then, well, he said, Lakshmi was performing great austerity, but she, in the same time, she wanted to retain her opulence as a Lakshmi and like this, enter into circle, which is not possible. You know, it's not possible. While Shrutis, Upanishads, they wanted, they were very much attracted to gopis. And first they didn't succeed. But then, through this great devotion, they took birth in Vraja as a gopis. And then they were able to enter into inner circle. And then he was puzzled completely, you know. They were able to enter in inner circle and associate with Krishna. This is highest. And he gave so many verses about supremacy of Krishna. But, and he could see mind of Venkatabhata is like, you just felt that Venkata feels that somebody just want to take out of his heart something attachment. And then, you know, he was just, you know, he could see this kind of small disturbance. And Lord Chaitanya said, but I was just joking, you know, like, and I just explained that there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna, you know, between Lakshmi and gopis, you know, I was just speaking in a jest, joking with you. I didn't want to disturb you. But Venkatabhata would always, already change. He was just, you know, he just felt nectar. And then it's said that all his family become Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, entire family. He had famous brother, Prabodhananda Saraswati. This was his brother. And he had only one son. His son, his appearance today, is Gopalabhat in this family. He was only a small boy. Lord Chaitanya would keep him on his lap and give him every day a remnant of his food. In this way, by mercy of Lord Chaitanya, all they become Gaudiya Vaishnava. And then Bhata, Gopal Bhata, he got so much mercy from Lord Chaitanya that he was always thinking of him, couldn't forget him at all, constantly meditating on him. After 4 months, Lord Chaitanya has to leave. And then said Gopal was just so destroyed, you know, he was crying. We said, don't worry, at some point you'll come to Vrindavan and see me there. So when he left, after he left, then his parents told Gopala, don't worry, as soon as we passed away, you must go to Vrindavan, Gopala Bhata. So in the meantime, you know, he was under his uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati. He learned very quickly all these rhetorics, Sanskrit grammar, all Bhakti scriptures, logic, everything, very quickly. He was an expert. And then after his parents passed away, immediately he set to Vrindavan and then there joined to Sanatan and Rupa Goswami, who accept him, like they knew he's going to come. And Lord Chaitanya personally, from Jagannath Puri, sent him his copying. Is Babaji Avesh sent him personally, he took it. And after some time, he was traveling into pilgrimage, Gopal Bhata. And then in the area of Haridwar, it was rainy day, and somehow, you know, find himself and then went to the house of one Krishna Bhakta there in the house and stayed there for a day. He was served by very, you know, he was very pleased. But this Brahmana, he didn't have any son, could never have kids. And then Gopal Bhatta, he blessed him. But with a son, said, you will get a son who is very great devotee of Radha Krishna. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitam Lakshman Man Jai Gaur Nitai. So your son, you will get son, he will be a great devotee of Radha Krishna. And Brahman told him, I'll send my son to you to take shelter. He will serve you all his life. And then Gopal Bhatta continued ahead and he went to Gandaki, obtained 12 shalagram shilas. He brought them in his cloth around the neck, worshipping every day very faithfully. But in his heart, always wanted to have deity, actually, to worship. And once one rich merchant, he gave him some cloth, deity cloth, some outfits, beautiful. He was, oh God, I wish if I could just adore Krishna with this deity, with this. And then that evening, he just kind of, you know, put the shalagrams and the rest, put them in a tree, and went to rest. Next morning, he just woke up, took a bath, and when he woke up, the shalagram shila, when he opened the basket, it's an amazing thing. One of the shalagram shila was turned into beautiful deity of Krishna, carved in the three places. He was amazed. All the Goswamis came. He was amazed. He gave him name Radharaman. He worshipped for many, many years, this Radharaman, in that place. And once, when he was out of his cottage, taking bath or something, on the way back he saw a small boy on his doorstep waiting. When he came, I asked him, who are you? And he explained, I'm this boy. You know, my father told me that once you've been in our house, you bless him to have a son. So I'm that son. I came to serve you. And he accepted him, and so this boy was worshipping Radharaman. His name was something, Gopal Pujari Goswami. He was Naishtiki Brahmachari. All life stayed there and worshipped Radharaman. So there's a Gopala Bhatta Goswami. He was very scholarly, of course. He together with Sanatana Goswami, they compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas together. And then Sanat Goswami was very devoted to him. Under his name, he published that book, Hari Bhakti Vilas. And also, he originated the idea of Satsandarbhas. He gave the synopsis of Satsandarbhas, which later on Jiva Goswami, he elaborated and published Satsandarbhas. And also, he wrote some commentaries on various scriptures, Krishna Karnataka, I think, and something. I wrote this book of samskaras and rituals for all order society. A few other things. So he passed away when he was 75, I think. As somebody said, in spiritual world, he was Ananga Manjari or Rati Manjari, one of the two. So that's a Gopal Bhatta Goswami ki jai. So just to quick recap, because I found very useful, and every day online speakers speaks and then they recap on the end, always those who lead discussion, then they remember. Oh, yeah, otherwise we forget. So we discuss about what are proper questions to ask. We have so many questions to ask, but it describes it. How to solve the problem of Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi and Shukadeva, Maharaj Parikshit. Asking these questions, he's very appreciated by sages, but then throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, he's asking all kinds of questions possibly you could ask for our sake. So that's it. And how we get confused as soon as we come to that material world from this Satchidananda state, we totally lose all of this sense of eternity, sense of knowledge, sense of bliss completely, because we associate with the mind, and the mind needs to acquire the knowledge. It's like a child. He needs to acquire knowledge to function in this world. Therefore, Vedas are given to function here, and eventually you have to transcend that, come to Vaidhi Marga. And from Vaidhi Marga, by blessings of exalted Vaishnava, you can be introduced to one of the denizens of Vrindavan. That's called kind of, you know, sometimes they give Siddha Pranali, which we totally disprove. Maybe, all right, you know, in some cases, but in our unified state, you know, like the guru tells you a peacock or something, and you practice that. You can become peacock next life, but in London Zoo, not in the spiritual world. So that's a premature. So finally, you have to come to this Bhakti Marga. I mean, spontaneous love, spontaneous Bhagavat Vidhi, and then you enter circles of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Anything to say? Anyone? We have finished then. Yeah?
Well, there was an interesting story with Gopal Bhatta Goswami. This one disciple, he was trying to preach to him the importance of following Ekadashi.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't listen, so Gopal Bhatta Goswami rejected him. And then one time he was taking bath in the Ganga. He was in Vrindavan, Yamuna Ganga. Yamuna, yeah, anyway. And a dead body came and a head came and touched him. And the head spoke, "Please forgive my offense." This was his disciple.
What offense was?
This is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. His disciple, you know.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yeah. So it just shows you how merciful the Guru is to, as long as the disciple is ready to rectify his mistake, he's ready to give shelter to.
Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. You were talking about questions and answers and preaching. There's preaching to non-devotees. You can make sure that they get inquisitive about Krishna. Prabhupada was saying, you were saying. What is the difference between preaching to a non-devotee and preaching to a devotee who is already inquisitive about Krishna? How is it we should preach to devotees versus preaching to non-devotees?
Devotees already know about Krishna. How to preach to that devotee? He will ask you. This is how you do usually. You ask questions. If not, then just to come to somebody out of the blue and start to preach to him, you know, you may think, just give me a break, you know. So what's the difference between talking to karmis? With the karmis, we try to take their interest somehow. You know, you're too expert. It's not everybody's a preacher. Expertly take wherever they are. Be patient with them, Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada. Until you find something you can hammer on and slowly pave the way to speak about Krishna. See the interest, see where are they. To preach to the devotee. What's the difference? You have to be open. I mean, if he's not open, like, it's the same thing probably, you know. You have to see, is he open, or why he's asking, or how you, or you want to help him, or you don't hammer anyone with a basic philosophy, you know. In case of devotees, all you have to do is just share, remind others of Krishna. That's a preaching. Somehow, don't waste time. Share, you know. Don't waste time. That's the most important thing. As I mentioned there, like internet, whatever, You know, the other day Maharaj Chandramuli Swami said, what is greatest loss in life is to spend one moment without thinking of Krishna. If you really meditate on that, it's so important. You know, to spend one moment without thinking of Krishna is the greatest loss. And then how many moments you waste, small moments in the day, and mind gets filled up again with samskaras, you know. It's so crucial to constantly be able to remind ourselves, you know, somehow engage in Krishna service, constantly, always. And it will produce the bliss and happiness and peace. So many distractions I see in devotees, like even chanting, you know, can help, but every 2 minutes, look at WhatsApp, you know. You know, what's so important there, you know. And then with the WhatsApp, there's so many other things, you know, whether distraction is so enormous, you know. Therefore, progress is slow. So slow. It's very hard to not be distracted, you know, as a practice. So we have to remind ourselves and others of Krishna. Sorry, you have something to add, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more about setting the example ourselves.
Yeah. The process works, yeah. That's the best preaching. Set up example of what process works, that you are steady, that, you know, you gain something out of it. Otherwise, anyway. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.